Welcome to the Fighting for Joy podcast. I'm your host, Jody Blick. Well, if you have ever felt overwhelmed with too much stuff in your home or burdened down with too many shoulds in your life, I really should hang on to this, or I really should get to that storage room project, or maybe just feeling like you don't have time to do the things you really want to, or it seems like the things that matter most to you keep getting pushed to the side. Well, then this episode is for you. My guest today, Noelle Fowler, is a holistic declutter coach, and she runs a business called Room to Breathe. She works with her clients to discover the root causes behind the clutter in order to help them simplify and declutter, which makes room in their lives for things that matter more. Today, we talk about the different kinds of clutter and how not only can our homes, our garages, and our closets feel overwhelming and disorganized, but so can our minds, our bodies, our calendar, and other aspects of our life that can really result in a lack of contentment and a lack of joy. My last episode with April Bender focused on fighting for joy with systems and routines, and my conversation today with Noelle is a perfect follow-up. Creating regular rhythms and routines in your daily and weekly life helps more than we may realize, and Noelle gives some great practical examples of ways that she has worked to integrate various systems into her life that promote a deeper sense of peace and allow her to, as the name of her business says, make more room to breathe, make room for things that matter most. I'm excited for you to hear this conversation, and be sure to check out my show notes to find out how you can connect with Noelle to learn more about her Room to Breathe business, as well as the Making Room membership. So listen in now as we talk about discovering what really does matter most to you and how creating a life that focuses on that is possible and how it can help your fight for joy. Well, hi, Noelle. Thanks for being on the podcast with me today. I'm just really looking forward to this conversation and hearing what you have to share.
Hi, Jody. Yes, I am just so happy to be here today and talking with you.
Yeah, well, I always like to start by just having my guests give a brief introduction. So before we get started, I would just love for you to share a little bit about who you are and what you do and a little bit about your life.
Yeah, so I am a middle school English teacher. I teach eighth grade. And I am a holistic declutter coach. So I help women declutter and learn how to simplify their homes and really fall in love with the homes that they have. I'm married to JC. He's the best. He's on staff at our church, and we love just playing volleyball together. And I'm really into nutrition too. I love just talking about food and eating food.
Yes. Good. Well, we have not had the chance to meet in person, but our online friendship for me is just a great example of the beautiful ways that social media, especially Instagram, can connect people. And it allows you to find like-minded people and others who are pursuing and interested in similar things. And that's kind of happened for us. I believe we first got connected through our mutual friend, Kathy Brown. I think she pointed you to this podcast maybe, and then we started following each other. Do you think that's right?
Yeah, I think she was on one of your earliest episodes.
Yes.
And so I saw on her social media, and I've always just looked up to Kathy. So I listened, and then I've been listening along to Fighting for Joy ever since.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being a supporter of the podcast, and it has been really fun to get to know you a little bit through Instagram, and I have been loving all that you've been sharing on your Instagram page, especially the ways you've been doing more stories and putting yourself out there a little bit more on a regular basis on your Making Room to Breathe page. And I've told you this already, but I am cheering you on with that, and I encourage you to keep sharing. You're doing a great job on the stories.
Thank you so much. You are the person who you posted one day that you made a promise to yourself that you would never like re-record a story. You would never look back and watch it. And that inspired me like, okay, I do not need to re-record this story. So thank you for encouraging me in that way.
Yeah. It's so much better when you're not overthinking it and when you just show up however you are. And I think people resonate with that a lot more than trying to do everything perfectly. Yeah, well, let's dive in. So as you know, this podcast is called Fighting for Joy, and You know, almost everyone will go through some sort of a season where they are lacking joy or struggling to experience joy. So I would love for you to share a little bit about your backstory, kind of the why behind what you do. And so in other words, just maybe tell us a little bit about your background and the years leading up to starting your business and really changing your life and your approach to so many facets of your life and how you got to the place where decluttering and simplifying became a passion for you.
Yeah, I would say I've always been a pretty like orderly person. A lot of those teacher types, you know, type A. Mm-hmm. But it was really within the last 4 or 5 years that I have found so much life from simplifying and decluttering and ultimately getting organized. So I've been married for 4.5 years, and I think it really starts like right before then. Mm-hmm. One of the devil's lies to me that has just always gotten me is like, once this happens, then you'll be happy. Mm-hmm. You know? So it was like, well, once you get out of your parents' house and get to move out, you'll be happy. And then once you get married and move in, you'll be happy. And so that happened. I met JC. We fell in love, got married, and then moved in together. And I found myself, we got married in August of 2019. I found myself in the end of August then, so this is pre-pandemic, just miserable. I mean, we got back from our honeymoon and here I was with such a blessed life. And I was so anxious, overwhelmed, depressed, just all of it. I wasn't fun to be around. I wasn't fun to be married to. And there's so much wrapped in that, but it was the part of it was the disillusionment that like, hey, getting married is not going to be the thing. Mm. You know, that's not the thing that's going to make you happy. And part of that too was just the way that JC and I had decided to divvy up the responsibilities within our marriage was that a lot of the home stuff fell on me. So I was learning how to take care of a home, learning how to cook. And on top of that, JC has celiac disease, which I know you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. From Justine. So I had to learn how to cook gluten-free and I was just so overwhelmed. And just not myself at all. And not who I wanted to be within my marriage, not the kind of teacher I wanted to be, not the kind of person I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And so part of my fight for joy was getting rid of all the excess. So I wasn't so overwhelmed. So I started learning, I started reading and started learning about minimalism, which I'm kind of hesitant to use that word because it kind of freaks people out. They hear the word minimalism and they think like white walls and a white couch and one lamp in the corner of the room. Mm-hmm. But I learned about minimalism and read a lot of books by Joshua Becker. Have you ever heard of him?
I have, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's a former pastor who now teaches about simplicity and minimalism. And I just love his definition of minimalism. I wanted to read it to you. It's minimalism is the intentional promotion of the things that bring you joy and the removal of those that do not. So the intentional promotion of the things that bring you joy and the removal of what doesn't. And so I began to remove ruthlessly. Yeah. So we decluttered about, I should mention, JC and I live with his dad. So we have a pretty large space, but we got rid of 50% of our belongings and it was pretty radical.
Wow. Yeah. And so what did that feel like when you were doing that? Was it freeing? Was it scary? Was it overwhelming like in itself or what was the whole process? Because that was one of my questions to you of just if this was just a small gradual thing that started to happen, but it sounds like it was more of an abrupt kind of overhaul of your life.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of both because it probably took about a year to get rid of half of our like 50% of our belongings, but I mean, it was so freeing. I loved it, which is why I love talking about decluttering because I've experienced for myself the weight lifted off and I just know that others can experience that too. So it was great. I mean, and that's where the name of my company came from, Room to Breathe. I just felt like I had a room to breathe for the first time in this new season of life.
Yeah. Was JC on board too, or did it take some convincing to get rid of 50% of your stuff?
He was totally on board. One of the common question I get from people is like, how do I get my spouse on board? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of advice for that. But in this sense, I was fortunate. He's all in. He's definitely more minimalist than me even.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because I could imagine that for some couples, that would be a hard thing to figure out. But I love the name Making Room to Breathe, because, you know, along with stuff, what are some other things that you think hinder people from quote unquote breathing? I mean, what are some things you talked right away about getting rid of stuff? Was there a few other things that didn't have to do with possessions that you started to kind of clear out too in order to breathe? Just your story personally still before we get to you helping other people do it. Just what were some other things that you worked on to create more space and margin?
Well, I just have to say you are such an advocate for counseling. And so within like 3 months of our marriage, I started seeing a pastoral care counselor. Saw her for 4 years. I really just ended that season. And that was a huge part of my fight for joy, having someone who I could just be completely honest with and to walk through that season with. Mm-hmm. And I think also just getting rid of what I thought a wife had to be, what I thought other people's expectations of me were, mm-hmm. leaning into who I am in Christ. And I feel like I definitely discovered my calling, but I discovered part of my identity by getting rid of all the excess.
Which is interesting, because I think a lot of people find their identity in their home, in their stuff. I mean, wrongly, I'm not saying that's where we need to find it, but people kind of get trapped into that feeling of, this is just me. This is who I am. This is where I feel comfortable. This is kind of where my identity lies. And so it is a shift and kind of a whole upheaval of really even who you are at the core. Yeah. Yeah. So when did it get to the point where you thought, okay, I want to help other people now find this same peace and calm and even joy and, you know, kind of reorganizing where you find your identity? How did that whole process start of you even thinking about a business?
Decluttering and organizing, they're kind of like cousins. They're not the same, right? Decluttering is part of organizing, but I actually started, so as a teacher, I had summers off, and I started as a professional organizer. I opened up my own LLC and did like a super side hustle in the summer, and I was organizing for people. So I'd go in their homes and just create systems for them. And I loved it. I was good at it. But I realized that I was doing the work for them, and that, like, I like to say the bins and the bins and the baskets are just band-aids. They're not really getting to the root of our clutter. So I did professional organizing for a little bit, but really shifted to declutter coaching because I didn't want to be organizing for my clients anymore. I wanted to teach them to do it for themselves because it's so personalized. Like, a system that would work for me might not work for you. And also, if you want it to last, it can't be you just hire me to come do it for you. It's constant. Decluttering is constant.
Yeah. And when did you settle on that word decluttering? Because clutter, I mean, just have you defined clutter? Is it just kind of a lot of stuff, kind of a crowded space? Talk a little bit about clutter and decluttering and just what that kind of implies as you think about going into somebody's home or life. I mean, not just their home, but their life.
There are a ton of definitions for clutter, but for me, it's really what gets in the way of what matters most to you. Mm-hmm. And that's not just physical clutter. That can be, you know, emotional clutter. That can be calendar clutter. And I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I would say clutter is what gets in the way of what matters most to you. Mm-hmm. And so decluttering it's not the thing. I mean, I have fun decluttering. I could do it all day long, but the women that I work with, they're not decluttering just to declutter. They're decluttering because they want to make room for something else. They want to make room for being a more present mother. They want to make room to really start paying attention to their health. They want to make room for their family and to stop being on their phone so much, whatever it is. So part of my process with the women I work with is we define our why. You know, why are you joining the Making Room membership? It's not because you love decluttering, or maybe it is, but for the most part, it's because I think we're all seeking something more, and that looks different for each of us.
Yeah. And I would imagine that a lot of times it might even take some sort of a crisis to figure out that, you know, we are not living in the way that is prioritizing things that matter the most to us, right? Like, do you find that it usually takes something hard to happen where people all of a sudden realize, wait, I am not prioritizing and focusing on and being intentional, like you said, the intentional promotion of things that matter to me?
Definitely. There's this like moment of crisis that brings a moment of clarity that's in so many people's stories. Mm-hmm. Definitely what brings people to realize that they want to make a shift.
Yeah. But it does make sense to me that, you know, it would be wise to start with our homes and our physical surroundings, because I mean, I know our moods can be greatly affected by what we come home to, you know, just what greets you in the garage, even when you pull in, or when you wake up, what are the first things that you see, or when you're walking from one room to the next room. I think everyone knows that feeling of overwhelm with house stuff and just kind of what calls out to us, things needing attention, things needing to be cleaned and stuff. And I think that's why a lot of people crave getting away and love traveling, right? You go stay in a simple hotel and you feel so calm and peaceful because you don't have all of this stuff yelling at you, kind of, you know, pay attention to me, work on me, clean me, you know, all the things.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the silent to-do list, I've heard it called. Like, yeah. Every item we own is adding to our to-do list, even that extra coffee mug or that plant on the counter. They can be good things, but they're still asking something of us. So you're right. When we leave, when we stay at a hotel, there's no silent to-do list. It's just our suitcase.
Yeah. And I think, you know, back to your point on organizing, I mean, you can have somebody swoop in like you used to do and organize your home. But that's why I like that word clutter, because it's not just about your house. It makes sense, like I said, to maybe start there or focus on there, as it is such a big part of our lives, but we can have mental clutter and we can have, you know, emotional clutter, relational clutter. We can have these things in our life that are, like you said, not bringing us joy. We're not intentionally promoting the things that bring us joy. We're filled with all of these things that are actually stealing our joy. So share a little bit about your approach to decluttering with clients and kind of helping people make room to breathe. Like, what does it look like? How do you even help people find out what matters most to them? And then just, you know, how do you take a look at someone's life and like help them begin the process of decluttering in all different areas?
So part of what I discovered when I was doing the professional organizing in people's homes is that There's stuff under the stuff, right? It's not just about the stuff. It's actually not really about the stuff at all. It's about the emotions under the stuff and the attachment we have and whatnot. And so I take a root cause approach to decluttering. That's part of why I call myself a holistic declutter coach, because holistic is looking at all parts, right? Not just one aspect of something. Like, if I tell my holistic doctor that I'm not feeling well, he's not just gonna say, like, he's not just gonna give me a pill or something. He's gonna say, how are you sleeping? How are you eating? You know, things like that. So looking at my whole life. And so as a holistic declutter coach, I do that with my clients. I look at their current season of life. Do they have kids? What are their goals? What are their priorities? And a lot of that root cause approach is helping them rewrite the stories they tell themselves about their stuff. So, for example, one story that a lot of people say, I call this value clutter. One story is, I can't get rid of this. I spent too much money on it. Mm-hmm. Like, I spent $300 on this thing. I can't declutter it. I have to try to sell it, right? Mm-hmm. And I help them rewrite those stories. And I help them learn that, you know, the money was spent when you first bought the item, not when you decide to let go of it.
Yeah. That's helpful. Yeah. Cause I think you're right. I don't think that anyone would argue that getting rid of unnecessary stuff and living a more simple, organized life is desirable. I think we all want that. It's just, you're right, it's not always that simple. And I think, you know, we, like you said, we worry about how much we spent on it, or we wonder if maybe we might need it someday. You know, there might just come a time where we need that, and then I'll have to go out and buy it again. Or, you know, I know for me too, there's times when people gift you things and then you feel bad about getting rid of it because you love them and they gave it to you. And, you know, so yeah, a lot of mental games, a lot of messaging that goes on in our minds, and I don't even think we're aware of it. So that's super helpful to have you come in and kind of do a bit of counseling, actually, in helping people with the emotions behind it. That's super important. I would imagine it makes a lot of sense to me, because there are reasons that people overshop. There are reasons why people buy too much. There are reasons why people feel like they need more and more and more. So and even for me personally, I mean, I do love to shop. It's inspiring. It's exciting. It's fun. It's a great way to spend, for me, you know, an open afternoon. I love finding a good deal, you know, whatever. But I know that a lot of those things are not even really tied to the thing I actually purchase. So, but I don't pay attention to that in the moment. It's always helpful to have somebody come alongside of you and point out maybe some of the blind spots that we have.
The cool thing about what I do is, so I run an online membership. So it's women together. It's not just, So it's women holding each other accountable. It's women encouraging each other. And you have other people who are in a similar season of life as you, who are inspiring you, you know, and it's run on a private app. So you can see what Katie did to her kitchen this month, and that can inspire you. And it's like, it's real homes. It's not, this isn't Pinterest. This isn't like, it's people's real homes and their mismatched bins and their shoe boxes. And just, it's real life stuff that isn't really what we see on Instagram. So my members really love that and just feel like a sense of camaraderie through that.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it gets back to something that I talk about a lot on this podcast, which is our need for community. And I feel like whatever we are going through, to know we're not alone, to have accountability, to have friendship and companionship and just other people's ideas and other people to come alongside and inspire and encourage is super helpful. So I love that. I guess I didn't know that. So tell me a little bit about the app. So you have people become a member of this community, and then they get to be on your app, and then you do teaching, coaching, different things on that.
Right. So we have a monthly live coaching call, and then challenges throughout the month that are totally doable. And I mean, a lot of, like, it's for people who are busy, right? Whether you're a mom or whatever season of life, really. So it's the education you need to learn about decluttering and to learn about how to, you know, make a certain space work for you. And then it's the accountability you need from me, your coach, and from other women, and the encouragement. And we work through the house room by room. Like, each month is a different theme. So it's very realistic and sustainable. It's not, a lot of people try to declutter their whole house in a weekend and then get overwhelmed and the piles stay there for weeks. But this is a more sustainable way of doing it.
When you're talking about the root cause, do you feel like there are a couple of main root causes that continue to pop up, or do you feel like it's just a wide range of all different kinds of causes based on situations and lives and, you know, all kinds of things that they're experiencing or have experienced in their past? Or do you feel like there's a general theme of what maybe one of the main root causes would be?
I'm both. I think one of the common ones is this emotion of, like, should they, like, we should on ourselves, as my therapist says. Like, I should keep this. My mother-in-law gives it to me, or I should keep this because I inherited it from my grandma. Which there's so much behind that, but a lot of the root cause is emotional, for sure.
Yeah, that should word is something I am working on myself too, in a lot of different areas. It's just I think as women especially, that we subconsciously are saying that to ourselves all the time. And that's always a red flag for me too, when I hear myself saying that especially out loud. Well, I would love to talk through some of the holistic benefits of a decluttered life, because I do love that you, you know, view it from a holistic perspective. So, you know, how does a simpler life affect our bodies and our mind and even our spirit?
It's kind of hard to disconnect mind and body, but stress, I mean, just so much anxiety comes from things we have to do, and getting rid of stuff lessens the things we have to do and gives us more time to do the things we want to do, which is probably have a family dinner or more time to hang out with a friend who you haven't been able to see, instead of, you know, reorganizing your garage for the third time this spring. Yeah. And just less stress. And there's this stat that is just mind-boggling to me, but in the average American home, if you decluttered the average American home, it would reduce housework by 40%. Yeah. Who doesn't want less housework? And I think for mind, I mean, so much of this simple living journey for me has been a mindset shift of my worth does not come from my belongings. One of the guiding scriptures for me is Luke 12:15, that says life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. I mean, we came to this earth with nothing, and we are going to leave this earth with nothing, nothing physical, that is.
And that goes back to the community aspect of your app and your community too, because I think that the messaging we hear from the world that is louder is the complete opposite, right? It's just, you are your possessions and what you earn and what you wear and, you know, the vacations you go on, those are the things that are glamorized. And so if you don't have people walking with you to remind you of the truth, to remind you of your identity in Christ, to remind you of really we don't need all of the stuff that we have, and we don't need more. And, yeah, that community aspect, I think, would be super helpful to fight the louder voices of the world and of our culture.
As Christ followers, we live in an upside down world where the last will be first and the first will be last, and we're supposed to give our lives away. And none of that can happen without, pushing against this current of more that our Western culture it's what it is. So
yeah, Eric and I are recent empty nesters, and I've even noticed, you know, there's different seasons where you have to have more of different things. Of course, when we had the kids home, we needed more food and around in the pantry and stuff like that. But since it's just the two of us now, I've just noticed, just a lightness in having less in our pantry and less in our refrigerator, and just less decision fatigue, even about just what kind of meals we kind of are in a routine with what we do with meals now and stuff. And I want to ask you about that later, some of the systems and routines, but, you know, just to kind of even eat simpler, eat cleaner, how doing some of those things and reducing the clutter around our food, around our bodies, really does affect our minds. You're right. Like, it helps with decision fatigue. It helps our body. We sleep better when we are less stressed, when we have, you know, less weighing on our hearts and minds. I think it might have even been today when you posted something about food as medicine too, and just kind of shifting our focus from, you know, food filling up our pantry and our pantries looking so nice and organized, to just really kind of focusing in on more a simpler way of what does our body need, you know, to heal? What does our body need for fuel? How can we have less boxes and packaging in the pantry and in our refrigerator? And, just even that whole side of decluttering is something that has naturally happened for us, heading into this season now. And I am experiencing a lot of just, freedom and a lightness when I open the fridge or when I open the pantry. I love it.
Yeah. I love that for you. That makes so much sense to me. I talk about like making room for what matters most to you, and that looks different for each person. But for me and JC, eating well, like eating nutritionally dense food, is really important. And so I would not have time to cook the way I do at least in this season of life, if I had more stuff that I was managing. So,
yeah. And even just, you know, kind of thinking holistically still about, our hearts and our spirits, you know, even our spiritual life and our walk with God, I feel like when our lives are quieter, when they are simpler, when we're experiencing more calm and peace, we are, you know, we feel closer to God. We see him, you know, more clearly. We have more time to be with him, back to what's most important to us. You know, if time with God is important, we need to have the space and the time and the freedom to be able to spend time with him and spend time in prayer and, be able to not have so many distractions and other things that are sapping us of our time and our energy.
Another scripture that I have just been loving, and I want to make it one of my core scriptures, is 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal."
Yeah, that is super convicting, because we just fix our mind on the things that we can see. That's what's in front of us. That's what we feel is important, and it really isn't. It's not what ultimately matters. And I know when you go through something hard, you realize that, but quickly the world gets back into your subconscious and you start focusing again. So yes, that is a great scripture verse to just post up around your house or in your car or whatever, to remind ourselves of where we should have our minds and our hearts and our eyes fixed. For sure. Well, my last episode was with my friend April Bender, and we focused on how systems and routines in our life can help us fight for joy. And that message really resonated with my listeners. And you mentioned it here a little bit ago about making food for you and JC, and I've heard you talk about it quite a bit on Instagram too. So share a little bit about just some of your key systems and routines and just things in your day-to-day or weekly life that help you keep organized, help you stay decluttered, help you fight for joy, whether it's food prep or a cleaning schedule, or just what are some things that you try to incorporate every day or every week that have made a big difference for you?
I loved that episode with April. I felt like she was speaking my language. So yeah, I mean, systems are huge. And I was talking with JC, like, what are our systems? And then I was like, I think we have a system for everything. I mean, that's a total exaggeration. We don't have a system for everything, but we do have some that have really worked for us in this season. And one thing I like to say just to my members is that you have a system. It just might not be intentional. Mm-hmm. So like, we do laundry on Sundays. That's my meal prep day. That's when I do laundry. Mm-hmm. But for some people, they might do laundry when their hamper is full, or when they feel like it on the weekend, or I don't know, another situation, which there's nothing wrong with that, but maybe there is a better system for you so that you could get it done and not have it weighing over you, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we meal prep every Sunday for the past 4.5 years. I'm sure there's been a day that it wasn't on Sunday, but always make it happen. And part of that is just because of our dietary restrictions. Mm-hmm. Neither of us eat grains or dairy. And in this season of healing, we're not eating out at all either. So we eat everything from home. Mm-hmm. And so that takes a lot of preparation and just intentionality. And I would go crazy if I had to cook every day.
Yeah. And you know, my daughter Justine has found that to be such a help for her too, is that food prep and just having things ready, having it available, carving out time to do that. And just as a side note, I love that you always, you don't always focus in on like the beauty of food prepping. I think sometimes it can be discouraging to see people only post like the finished product of all of the food prepping in the cute little containers and everything all finished. But like, sometimes you'll just post your dishes in the sink, or you'll post your kitchen in the aftermath of food prepping. And I think that that just gives people a realistic look into the time that it takes to do that. And, you know, in the work that it takes, and why decluttering other parts of your life to make time for that, if that is one of your biggest priorities right now in your marriage and in your, you know, healing and holistic way of thriving in life. So thank you for being real about about doing that, because I think that it can be overwhelming once people dive into it and they think, oh, this isn't how it looked on Instagram when the other person was doing all this food prepping. So, yeah, but what are a couple other things? Do you have like weekly, routines and rhythms with you just in your marriage, with your spiritual disciplines, or just what are a couple other things that might be helpful for my listeners to hear for examples?
One thing I'll say about the dish pictures is that I told myself that I need to post a real picture if I'm also going to post a pretty picture.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't think I do it every time, but I try to.
I love it.
So we practice a weekly Sabbath on JC works for the church. So we practice Sabbath on Saturdays. And that means phone goes off Friday night and it doesn't go back on until Sunday morning, which was so hard in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I would be like twitchy, like so twitchy. Mm-hmm. But now I cannot wait until Friday dinner when I can shut this thing off and just disconnect. So we practice a Sabbath, and that looks like disconnecting from our phones and just sleeping in, having a nice slow breakfast. We go to the gym together and we do a devotional, maybe go for a walk, kind of just do what we can to connect with each other and then connect with God. Ultimately, that has been just so life-giving. I can't even put into words. I'm looking forward to Sabbath tomorrow already.
And
I would say too, we have a weekly calendar meeting. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people probably do this, but on Sundays, we just look at the calendar together. It takes 5 minutes. We go through the week and just talk about like, all right, who's driving here? And, you know, when do you need dinner to go? And do you need a thank you card for this event? You know, things like that. We just walk through the week together, and that has been really helpful.
Yeah.
And then this is such a silly one, but, we dry brush before we shower. Mm-hmm. And so I always wash, I like habit stack. I wash our dry brushes and I wash our water bottles on Sundays. It's just, if I don't systemize it, then I'm not going to do it. And I don't want a nasty dry brush or water bottle.
Yeah. And I hear, you know, the intentionality in it. And I love that. I think that gets back to, you know, the work that you're doing and how you can have and find joy is through being intentional about the things that you're doing so that you can do the other deeper underlying things that are important to you. And I love that you shared that about the phone and kind of getting twitchy and how hard the adjustment was, because I think that gives hope to people and reminds them that, you know, we do adapt. It's just adapt. It's just when we are used to something, it's hard to think about bringing a big change like that, but we do adapt and we do figure out a way to thrive in that. And a lot of times it is what's better for us. We just, kind of what you were saying about, we all do have systems, whether we realize it or not. It's just, are those systems working for us, you know? And that's why I kind of asked that question earlier about, do you find that people are usually in some sort of a crisis or something has happened in their life to kind of shake things up? Because we can really get numb to the life and how we are living this day-to-day life, these precious days that we have, we can numb out and we can just go through the motions and we're not even being intentional. We are not being purposeful. We don't know why we're doing what we're doing. And so to have something like a Sabbath or to have something like, you know, looking ahead, you know, for the week or the month with a calendar to be more intentional, and to just slow down and really think about why we're doing what we're doing is life-changing. And so thank you for sharing those examples. I think that's super hopeful and helpful for my listeners. And I think that routines and, you know, things that are a regular part of our day or our week, it's just such a contrast to living in like a haphazard approach. And I think we would all agree that an organized life is more desirable than a chaotic life, but we have to be intentional to get to that place, because we do live in a world where things get pretty chaotic. And just, you know, this podcast, I talk a lot about grief on here. And I think that one of the messages I continue to tell people is, it is helpful when you go through something really hard to already have some things in place in your life. You already have these routines. You're already attending a church. You already have community. You already have some things that you will be able to fall back into and find comfort in when your circumstances have kind of turned the rest of your world upside down, because we are going to have hard things hit us. I mean, you know, the celiac disease is a real uprooting of a life, and it's a complete change in how you live in community, how you know, treat your body and feed your body and how you shop, everything, right? And so we all have hard things happen. And I just think having an approach to the things we can control, when something happens that we can't control, or circumstances really help us to not go fully off the rails when we are thrust into something hard.
I don't know if I'll get the quote right, but we don't rise to the level of our going on. We default to our training, or we default to our systems.
Yeah, is that a James Clear, the Atomic Habits, maybe?
I definitely have to Google it.
Yeah. But I think, yes, that is,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yes. That is a great, my friend Becky says that a lot. So yeah, I do. I have heard that, and that's very true. Very true. And I think for you, you know, you're a holistic declutter coach. You're helping and inspiring and encouraging, you know, these women, and yet you're still learning, right? You're still growing. You're still making changes here and there to keep pursuing a more simple, decluttered life. And something that you shared about recently was your little breakup with Target.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be really appealing to everyone, because there are strong feelings about Target. And personally, it is, you know, one of my happy places. But, you know, I think it is helpful to think about what our quote unquote Target might be for each of us, you know, someplace or something that is taking away time or money or energy from things that matter more. So share a little bit about why you did that and how you're feeling about it.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you called it a little breakup. It was a big breakup. It was my happy place too. I would just go there because everything's pretty. And I would find myself going there like after I grocery shopped. So I had like a bunch of groceries in the car, but I just needed to go to Target just to see what they had. And you know, you walk in, they got the dollar section, and I would always find something, like, even though I didn't need anything, like, oh, this will go in my classroom, and oh, I could use this for the next holiday that's coming up, whatever.
Yeah.
And same thing with like the clothes. I posted about this online, like you said, but like the clothes that are totally not my style, but they look super cute on the model. Mm-hmm. And also like the fake plants that I could totally find a home for. So I decided to stop going to Target, or break up with Target. Because every time I'm there, it makes me feel like I need something more. It makes me discontent with the life I have. And I don't need to be putting myself in a place that makes me feel like that, especially when I know it makes me feel like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long the breakup's going to be, but definitely for a while, until I can change that mindset and not feel like I need to buy something to, because I deserve it, or because it makes me happy, because those feelings are fleeting.
Well, I think, well, for sure. And I think Target is a great example for you to use, because they are so good at drawing us in and making it very easy to buy and to impulse buy. And, you know, for me, I've had to kind of break up with some influencers on social media that I really loved following, because, you know, but they made me feel like I had to have whatever they were so crazy about at the moment, right? Like, they just made it very easy for me to impulse buy. And so again, whatever it is for people, it doesn't have to be Target. It doesn't have to be a social media influencer, but just the awareness that, you know, of what we're doing, like waking up to what we are doing and how we are spending our time, how we're spending our money. And like you said, the stuff beneath the stuff, and being aware of, use that word contentment. I think that is huge. Just being aware of our discontentment, and how can we fight for contentment? How can we really feel more settled and be grateful for the life that we have, and find joy in things, not, you know, not stuff, but find joy in relationships, or in our time with the Lord, or in getting outside, or in feeding our bodies good food. I mean, yeah, it really is. I think that one of the big takeaways of this episode will be the why, like you said, and just trying to figure out, like, what is it that you want to have a better and a bigger focus on, and these other things are cluttering up your mind and your home and your body and your schedule, right?
Absolutely. What do you want to make room for? It's probably going to be letting go of something.
Yeah.
And it might not be pretty.
Yeah, that's a good word too, and a good reminder. And I think that's why people don't want to get started, right? It's we crave comfort. We crave comfort. We don't want to have to do something that's hard. And I think that grief has taught me that we can do hard things, and sometimes we don't have a choice, and we just have to dive in, and we just have to lean in, and that there is joy on the other side. And I think that, you know, similarly, when there are things that we need to take out of our life, or other important things that we need to add back into our life, there's going to be a level of discomfort for sure.
Definitely. And that's part of what I help people coach through. But when you do make that shift, like when you realize that putting things in trash bags and getting rid of them is more fun than that trip to Target, mm-hmm. and it makes you feel freer and lighter, and like you can breathe, like it's almost like there's no going back. At least that's been my experience. And I've seen it happen to other women. Like just something lights you up and you realize that there's life in less.
Yeah. That's again, gets back to why it's helpful to do it with a coach, number one, because a lot of times we don't have the motivation. We just are stuck. We need somebody to come alongside and really coach us through it. And then to have a community of other people who are right in the same situation, working hard at this too, then you don't feel so alone. You're not just saying everybody else is out doing this, that, or the other. And why am I trying to simplify or declutter? I want to be out buying all the things too. But when you have friendship and you have community and you have accountability within it, it does make some of the harder things in life a little easier. Yeah, well, this has been a really good discussion and very, very helpful to hear about how different kinds of clutter can affect us and even rob us of joy. And I want to give my listeners some information about how to connect with you and how to find you. So share a little bit about that, how they could reach out if they want to hear a little bit more.
Yeah. So I mostly hang out on Instagram. It's Make Room to Breathe. I'm sure you'll link it for them. And I would love to hear from you. Send me a DM. Tell me you listened to this episode and what you thought about it. I also have a free guide for people to download. It's called Let's Make Room, a simple guide to go from clutter to calm. And it is like a Kickstarter for if you want to declutter, if you want to start your decluttering journey. It has some of those stories that we tell ourselves on it. So like different kinds of clutter, like value clutter and what if clutter, which is kind of like what you mentioned, Jody, like what if I need this one day? And it has the rewrites for that, like how you can reframe that thought, which might help you let go. And also just some other tips that people have found really helpful for how to get started decluttering, because like you said, it's so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Good. Yeah. And I definitely will link to your page. And when I share this episode, I will tag you as well, so people can get in contact with you. So I'm just really grateful for the work that you are doing online and the ways that you are helping others begin to experience more joy and more peace through a more simple way to live. I feel like I have a ways to go on this journey and I could definitely get better, but you have given me so many good things to think about. And I really do love following you and learning from you. And I think even the awareness of some of these things has really helped me to just dig a little deeper, to be a little bit more intentional, to be a little bit more thoughtful, and just to recognize how, you know, different parts of my life that may feel a little more cluttered are really affecting me holistically. You know, even a few baby steps towards a more decluttered life can help. So as we end today, I would just love for you to share a few simple tips to just get my listeners started in this direction. Like, what are a couple of practical things that somebody could go and do today that could make a difference and make a little more room to breathe?
Well, we talked about the Target thing and shopping. And one thing that I just have to share is that I just love this analogy. If your bathtub was overflowing, you wouldn't grab a bucket and start bailing out the water. You would turn off the faucet, right? And so if you are feeling overwhelmed in your stuff, I know for women, for us, and like for me, it's clothes. Turn the faucet off. Like just stop. Stop the shopping as you begin this decluttering journey. That's one of my biggest pieces of advice I give. The other one is just to start small, like set a 15-minute timer and tackle that pile of papers on the counter or tackle that awkward utensil jar on the counter. Just something small. You need like a quick win, and that's going to get the momentum going for you. So start small. And if you're wondering what room to start in, I tell people the bathroom, because there's no sentimental clutter in the bathroom, and we all use the bathroom multiple times a day. So you're going to feel that quick win, going in the bathroom, you know, three times a day.
Yeah. I love that. That's a great suggestion. Quick question about the shopping thing, because that is a problem for me. So what do you find is a good, period of time? Like, it's daunting to be like, stop shopping. But like, what's a good goal? Like, would you say a month? Would you say like 6 months? Like, what's a realistic good goal to, you know, kind of find a win in that stopping shopping area?
I feel like 6 months would scare people. I think it definitely depends on the person. But one thing that I've found is helpful for my members is, if you want to buy something, like if it's a link from an influencer, or, you know, you want this dress you see, save it in a note and save it as a wish list and give yourself like a 30-day period. And so you can't look at it, you can't think about buying it again, or at least, you know, try to buy it for 30 days.
But what if it has a code and it's on sale, Noelle? No, I get what you're saying. And you have shared that. You shared that about the wish list before. Yeah. And I love that. I love the wish list idea, because yeah, there are times where I feel the urgency now because of that, right? Like, somebody's like, here's a code, or this is on sale now, or whatever. And so the urgency goes away, and then you can decide if you really wanted that or if you just are excited about the deal.
Yeah, exactly. So the wish list is helpful. And then I would say just start with a month, because it's small, and I feel like that feels pretty attainable for people. Yeah.
And I do love the bathroom idea too, and just starting without sentimental stuff. That is really wise. So thanks for those suggestions. That's really helpful. And I just love that I could bring you to my listeners today, Noelle. And I just am thankful for the joy and the light that you bring onto Instagram, and the ways that you make us think and ponder and work to be more intentional and, you know, kind of figure out what do we want to make more room for. And that is a powerful question that has the potential to really change lives. And so thank you for your work. Thank you for being my guest on the podcast today.
Jody, I just want to say thank you so much for your faithfulness in this ministry and just the way you honor Jackson's life. And I just, as a listener of this podcast, my fight for joy has been easier hearing these stories from other women. And that is just a testament to your faithfulness. So thank you.
If this episode was encouraging to you, I'd like to ask you to please consider rating the Fighting for Joy podcast and maybe even leaving a review. Just find my show and scroll down to where it says tap to rate or write a review. Tapping to rate literally takes a second or two, and writing a review can be pretty quick as well. Just sharing that you enjoy listening or that it's an encouragement to you is enough. The longer that I do this, the more I understand how helpful those ratings and reviews really are. The more that you leave, the more that different podcast platforms value this content and work to get it out there into the various search engines. So thank you for considering this. It really means a lot to me. Also, don't forget that as a Fighting for Joy listener, you can receive 10% off of your first month of counseling with BetterHelp, my podcast sponsor. So check out my link at betterhelp.com/fightingforjoy. Christian counseling can be such a huge help in this broken world and a major tool in the fight for joy. And as so many of you continue to ask how you can help support my work, signing up for a month of counseling will not only benefit you, it also shows BetterHelp that there is value in sponsoring this show. So again, that's betterhelp.com/fightingforjoy. I will never tire of encouraging my friends to try therapy. It literally can change your life and help you fight for joy.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you were helped or encouraged by this episode, please share it with others. I would also love for you to find me on social media.
You can connect with me and others who are listening on my Fighting for Joy podcast page on either Facebook or Instagram. You can also send me an email at fightingforjoypodcast@gmail.com. Podcasts have been such a lifeline for me in grief and one of the top ways that my soul is recharged and encouraged on a weekly basis. I truly hope that this podcast will do the same for you. Keep fighting for joy.